What's good, Wager World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. I'm in here with my co-host, my guy's been with me since day one, the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. But today, looks like you're out here with me. You're sitting in the black hole.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to switch it. I could switch it real quick.
No, man. Leave it on. I love it. It looks good, man. The only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. What's good, Spreads there?
Oh, man, I'm excited to talk to you. So much happened in the world of football, the NBA Cup. And then this weekend, the first college football playoff ever kicks off. And I can't wait to see how this changes things. We'll kind of find out. Is this a good idea? Is it a bad idea? I think it's going to end up being great, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Sino will be in a little bit later. Unfortunately, he had an emergency. He was sitting inside of here with us and ready to go when something happened. I hope everything's okay with him. But hopefully he'll be back before the show is over with to give his insight on some plays for today in college football, college basketball, and NBA. I just got off the Jason Whitlock show. Me and Whitlock go back a lot of years. I always tell people, I know a lot of people that people don't know that I know, because it's not important to me to try to blow my horn. And I know a lot of times I might name drop some people in regular conversation. We're talking about stuff on the show, and I'm sure people just like Five Star just run his mouth. But a lot of guys from being in Vegas, everyone comes to Las Vegas. So with me being a guy that's been in Vegas and those sports books and betting so long, I've met a lot of guys that are on TV and guys who do different things in the sports world and also in the entertainment world. And Jason is one of those guys, and we've always had a really good relationship. We don't agree on everything, on every topic, but as a person, he's a really good guy, man. And I appreciate the opportunity that he gave me. And I'm looking to go back one day pretty soon, hopefully to do some NFL playoffs over there with him and get his guys over there on Fearless to be a part of this Wagering World so they can be well-educated on betting sports. You remember I asked you, Spread, the last show, and you were not informed yet, and I respected it so much. My wife was like, that's why I like Spread. He's not going to speak about anything he doesn't know what he's talking about or hasn't read about. And, you know, much like me, you're like that, and I respect that about you. Now that you've had a couple days off, first of all, did you watch the hearing yesterday?
No, I did not. I've just been going nonstop. Just trying to get everything done with my MBA, and I'm changing my model a little bit. After a great start, I'm kind of coming back to earth, so I got to figure out what I'm doing wrong. Long story short, I missed it, but I did catch you on Fearless this morning. Great hit. So my knowledge basically comes down to what you broke down on the show today. But why don't you give people who missed that show a quick breakdown, because I thought you did a good job of explaining it.
I appreciate that. Yep. Whitlock had me come on this morning and kind of talk about what occurred at the congressional hearing yesterday. Pretty much what happened, it was Dick Durbin. This is his bill that he's trying to push along. And the bill is pretty much to be an oversight committee. He wants the government to agree to an oversight committee that would kind of be like a watchdog for federal governments over sports betting, so that now that the federal government could kind of pull back some of the things that we're dealing with and that we've seen as professional bettors and betting consultants that have changed in the market since 2018 when they had the ruling in Murphy versus the NCAA, where New Jersey was able to win and become another state outside of Nevada, which had sole control over sports betting for many, many years. And as you know, that goes back to the mob and the mob pretty much started sports betting in Las Vegas and pretty much started Vegas, period. And that was just an old set of rules. And this whole committee is about dealing with the new set of rules. And the new set of rules is now that gambling is worldwide, it's spread everywhere. 39 states have legal sports wagering now. And what are the effects on one society? You got one side like Durbin who says that gambling is a problem and guys can chase action at the click of a button, as we know they can, and rack up ever-increasing losses. He also spoke about AI and how AI has affected sports betting, which I've spoke about a long time on the show, how the model has changed because now it's corporate betting. It's not necessarily the mob or book guys anymore, bookmakers who create the line with the goal of hoping that they get action on both sides. They had five witnesses. Charlie Baker, who's He's something else. He's the NCAA president, man. That guy is a bucket of slime. That's all I'm going to tell you about old Charlie. Great quote from John Kennedy from Louisiana. He said, the NCAA is a good organization. I just haven't figured out what it's good for. So he told Charlie Baker that. So he was over there. But one thing good Charlie Baker was speaking about was he's trying to get player props for college athletes taken off of sports betting menus. And I agree with that because it's already bad enough on the pros. We see KD spazzing all the time. And Josh Hart always is into it with bettors, right? But then they show you how X is. X always gets you. So some of the guys that he was getting into about not meeting their parlay standards, they ended up finding some different tweets that he had years ago about his football parlay. So it kind of goes both ways, but they were on there speaking about that, and the main thing that Baker was stressing was that he does not want college athletes to continue to be harassed for their player props. Then also they had a David Rebuck, who's the former director of the New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement. You can tell he's a police type of guy, probably came from being a detective or something in New Jersey, and now was over the gaming enforcement laws when New Jersey first kicked off. Harry Levant, he had the best testimony of them all spread. This guy is the director of gambling policy and a certified gambling counselor at the Public Health Advocacy Institute at Northeastern University School of Law. Guy lost his law degree, ended up catching a case. He's a second generation attorney. His father was a well-respected lawyer, and he had followed his footsteps and got off into gambling real bad, man, and lost everything. Even had to go to prison. Because he was doing all these, you know, crazy things with his business in order to try to make the money to pay back the people that he owed. He had a really, really strong point. He was the only one out of the guys that testified that I really listened to and took to heart his beefs and cries. Because you know how we are here. We're kind of callous. We're kind of men to men over here on the way of the world. And, you know, like, make the decision, deal with it. You got to be tough. If you dug, you know, your grave, you got to dig yourself out of it. Like, you make these decisions as a man, you have to deal with it. Well, Levant was kind of bringing in the other side of the stuff, man. He compared gambling, drugs, and alcohol. He also said that the AI business model used on new apps make it where the action won't stop. He also said that Congress needs to crack down on the advertising, man. He said that the advertisement on these that they're running, just like you kind of mentioned, that they don't advertise cigarettes anymore, right? So why is it so accessible for kids to see all this advertising? As you mentioned, Kevin Hart, Jamie Foxx, popular guys, Peyton Manning, that makes sense because he's from the sports world, but a lot of these entertainers are simply to get guys who are squares into betting. Well, Levant spoke about that, and he said that that was a real problem, and he even spoke about DraftKings purchased an AI company strictly for tricking bettors, and that their whole goal is to make bettors lose. And he also spoke about something we deal with, Spread, how the AI is able to limit and slow down guys like us who are successful sports bettors and make it really hard for us to bet live or for us to get a wager in close to the game and high numbers. You know how we'll put in a number for a parlay or something, Spread, and the juice changes before we can even put it in. He says that's all AI technology equipped to try to slow down and deter successful bettors while at the same time creating ways to feed the guys who lose into betting more. So there's some tricky stuff going on with this AI. We know the artificial intelligence, man, it's a really scary thing. And then they also had a guy, Keith White. He was the executive director of the National Council of Problem Gambling. I liked him a lot. He just pretty much was neutral. His whole thing was just being there for people when they do have these issues with gambling and finding preventive measures to, you know, kind of stop guys from getting addicted and also to kind of reel guys out of the mud when they're, you know, addicted to betting sports and their dopamines are going crazy from this stuff and they can't stop. But as I said, he was really neutral on the fact on whether he thought that gambling should be federally regulated or left to the states. He said he didn't have a position on that. He was just there for the problem gambler. And then you had another guy, Johnson but Demesso, who was an ex-NFL player that works for the NFLPA, and he had a real problem with the fact that a lot of gamblers go on X and on social media, on Instagram, and they harass these athletes when they don't meet their prop expectations. End of the day, but Demesso and Levant both agree with Durbin and want to back him on the SAFE Act, which would set like a, you know, like a oversight committee at all times watching gambling. And then on the other side of the argument, you had Reebok, who said they should leave it to the states. He said that it was unnecessary, and he said that states and tribes are the best to deal with it, and that federal oversight is pretty much unnecessary. Tom Attilis from North Carolina, he tapped in a little bit, and he was with creating a task force to help create federal guardrails for the industry. Charlie Baker was saying that he got the amount of states that allow college player props down to now, I believe he said 19 states. It used to be 34. End of the day, the main thing that I wanted to see spread was what about match fixing and, you know, these guys that, like, for instance, the Saints and Redskins game. You saw what happened with that. That's one of the things why Jason reached out to me with Whitlock text and was like, did you see the ending of this Saints and Redskins game? And I'm like, yeah. And was like, are you surprised? And he kind of was. And I'm like, nah, this happens regularly. You know, they have a lot of gray area in the NFL. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the game that just occurred, but the Saints end up scoring and covering the spread and almost winning, going for two. The line was 7.5 when it went off. They were on 7, but the time should have ran out on 7, which would have got probably a lot of well bettors home into the window cashing, because as you and I know, we're going to take a prime number. If I got a 7.5, I'm going to buy down to a 7 or 6.5 so I can, you know, have a better number. And I think that a lot of guys did that. And for whatever reason, the clock paused at 9 seconds for 5 seconds and allowed the Saints to end up scoring and almost beating Washington straight up. So that's what really upset Jason. And that's the thing that I was looking at for them to speak about. It's funny, the only person who brought up match fixing was Marsha Blackburn. She's a Republican from Tennessee, but no one answered it. Like the guy from New Jersey who was over, you know, protecting, you know, the rules, and the guy that was over like enforcement and stuff, Rebuff, he pretty much blew it off. No one else added anything to it. And it ended up, well, she ended up switching her whole argument from focusing on the match fixing, which I cared about, to talking about something else that I kind of strong about too, and that was allowing transgenders to compete with biological women in sports. And she went off on a quick tangent about that and kind of dressed down the NCAA President Baker about that. And then after she dressed him down, John Kennedy jumped in, dressed him down some more, and then it turned to some partisan stuff and kind of lost focus on what it was about. And that was originally about the gambling side and how it affects bettors and whether guys are getting addicted, whether the advertising is bad for society, and whether the player props were getting guys harassed and putting guys in danger who play sports, and whether it was fixed games. But they never got to that because it became a Republican-Democrat argument after that. Josh Howley jumps in from Missouri and just really dresses down Baker, because Baker made a mistake and said that it was federally protected for biological men to compete with women. There's no federal law. No judge has ever said that. The NCAA is using Prop 48, I believe, or whichever one of those propositions, in order to enforce that. But then Durbin, being a Democrat, kind of gave him an out at the end of the committee when everything had kind of calmed down and said, well, how many athletes are competing or actually transgender? And Baker was like maybe 10. And he was like, and how many women athletes are there? He was like, maybe 3,000. So it ended up turning into just a Republican versus Democrat thing when it started out initially as a bipartisan committee that was strictly focused on trying to get all the dirt out of gambling and to make sure that these AI programs that we're facing didn't injure prospective bettors too much, and that the House didn't have such a strong advantage, which we know that they do, especially now with their new model of doing business. Now there's no longer bookmakers in the back doing it. It's now machines. And that's why I always say on here, it's us versus the machine.
A couple things I wanted to touch on this before we get into breaking down these games and giving out the picks. that stood out to you. As far as the player props, I agree. Before, Cino and I would watch the show, and then we were waiting for you before you had to run away. And I said to him, yeah, I can't believe if we're just talking about society, in California, Prize Picks is legal, and betting on a team is not.
Right.
Why do we like sports so much in society? Why 100 years ago did we say, you know what, it would be good a thing for our young men to have this as part of their college education? Because we wanted to learn teamwork. We wanted to learn discipline. We wanted to learn a commitment to physical education. And player props goes against that, right? Think if I'm in the game, I know my line set at 18 and the coach wants me to set the pick. I'm sitting on 17. Well, I want to go over for all my buddies or whatever. I mean, it's just, it takes away from what the sport is saying. Secondly, I've experienced the AI. You know, I've done live betting shows before, kind of made my name doing some live betting. Now they'll pick up on what you like. So, for example, I've done live betting shows and there's a bunch of us on here and we all have our different things we enjoy. For example, I like taking the underdogs at big points, right? So let's say I had Toronto Raptors plus 10. I already liked the Raptors at plus 10 before the game, but I know there's going to be runs. Watch the game, wait for them to go to plus 17, right? And that's my style of NBA live betting, is getting these ridiculous high numbers when bad teams get down early, and I can just get really high numbers. Other people are the exact opposite. A lot of people would take a team, on that same Toronto Raptors game where they're laying 10, they're playing the Celtics. So the Celtics minus 10, the Raptors get out to an early lead. They want to bet the Celtics at -2, -3. They like taking the favorites at a discount. I like taking the dogs inflated. We're on the same website and they're dealing us different numbers. And I can't prove it, but in my mind, I'm thinking, well, they've caught on to our patterns, and they can't have some person, especially for the amount that we're betting, you know, $200 a game is nice for me to make a living, but these Bovada, Bet Online, they're not going to care about that. You know, they're worried about the guys dropping 10,000 a game. Yeah. So it has to be AI, because it wouldn't even be worth their money to have a person monitoring this, right? It's only because they can run a computer program and not monitor it. So the AI is definitely here, and it's going to take away some of our advantages. And I still think it's crazy that everyone can bet all these player props on Chris Paul assists, but we can't just simply bet the Spurs to win the game. So those were my thoughts on that. But just once again, I want to say great job on that hit. And for the people who didn't see that, make sure you check that out.
Yeah, man, you're exactly right, though, about what you said about the AI and them doing that, man. I appreciate that, too, about you saying a good job on the show. DraftKings acquired two AI companies. One of them is called Sports IQ, and all it does is run numbers, because they've realized that technology, man, is the key to it all. Here on The Wagering World, man, this show spawned strictly from my, you know, betting consulting company. I had a private group for years that I had that played the plays that I played. Me and Spread used to always chop it up about sports betting and tactics and tennis. And after we, you know, kept conversing, I felt like he was the perfect guy to start the show with, and we ended up starting it. But the basis of the show is about bringing back morals to sports betting. Like, that's our whole key to this. It's like, we want to implement winning strategies, but we also believe that it's very important that we use sports betting as almost like a conscious way of keeping high character and approaching life in the way that the creator intended, because we seriously believe that you have to put out good energies and do things the right way to have good results in this, because all of this stuff boils down to, as I always speak about, spreading numbers. You know, the universe was created by numbers. The false universe, which is the internet, uses numbers to try to patent mine what the creator did and by making life with numbers. So if you see the basis of the internet, it's just numbers running all day. You see trades going on Wall Street, it's numbers running all day. Us with sports betting, it's numbers all day. So I feel like all those things are still intertwined and, you know, equal a much larger consciousness. And we have to remember that there's nothing wrong with betting sports if you're using it in the right way. And that's what we try to teach you on The Wagering World, as passive income, not nothing to get a high off of, nothing for dopamine, something to approach in a way similar to stock trade, cryptocurrency, real estate investment, just for passive income, man, not to abuse We enjoy watching sports. Most of us are on this show or members of this show. We're just sports fanatics first and foremost, man. But if we're going to make money off of it, we got to be aware of the traps. And that's what we try to do with the way of the world, because it is a lot of traps in the world of sports betting. It's a lot of ways that they can take you meaning to do something well and create some income for your family and turn you into a straight addict. And that's what it's pretty much meant to do nowadays, because corporations are all about greed. That's the difference. The human element of sports betting is gone. It's all about us versus the machine, because we're dealing with machines now, AI and corporate entities, man. You guys hit that like right now. We appreciate you guys for rocking with the Waging World. Spread, before we get in the past, do you know that Jonte Porter will be getting sentenced today?
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens there. Obviously, it's going to have lasting ramifications, and we'll see if it affects the integrity of the game, because unfortunately for Jonte, I think they're going to try and make an example out of him. Yeah. And he's a young man who made a mistake, and we're going to see how severe they make this.
Yep, and it's the exact thing we were just talking about. When you, Jonte Porter, you're coming from the G League, and you may make, what, $150,000 a year or something like that on a 10-day contract, and then you're playing with guys who are millionaires. If you don't have the character and the discipline, you're going to start thinking about other alternatives to making money, man. And as you said, I think they're going to make an example of a man. He could get up to 20 years. I'm hearing that the prosecutors are going to be probably asking for 50 to 60 months, which is still 5 years of that young man's life. And difficult on his family, man. They already dealing with the death of his older brother, had a car accident and stuff like that. And, you know, Michael Porter's dealing with his stuff with, you know, being criticized on social media and stuff for being a conservative guy, and you know, the other little things they caught him on, talking to drivers kind of bad and stuff like that. And then now his dad's dealing with Jonte Porter. Has to be heartbreaking. Father used to play actually in the NBA and raised three sons to play professional ball. And one's gone, one's about to go to prison, and, you know, one is dealing with a lot of stuff for his beliefs. The 41 college athletes from five different sports at Iowa and Iowa State, including the starting quarterback. We talked about that last year, and most of the national media did not, because most of these national media sports shows are affiliated and getting paid by these gambling sites, because they're making so much money hand over fist. Everyone's afraid to say something. Well, here on the Wager World, we're going to always tell you the facts, because we're not affiliated with anyone. Our main goal is serving you, man. It's always going to be for the underground and for the underdogs. All right, Spread, let's get to the past.
All right, we're going to jump into that right now. The NBA Cup, man, great event. It's a lot of fun. I would have it maybe in January or February when more people would pay attention, but we'll let the NBA figure that out. But I did not do well when I was picking those games. I like the Hawks to cover. That didn't come through. I like the Rockets to cover. That didn't come through. And I said, okay, maybe it's a favorite event. I thought the Thunder would get it done yesterday, but that was not the case, as Milwaukee made a statement. And I was listening to some fun breakdowns. And, you know, maybe this NBA Cup is going to be where the older stars come to shine. Now, of course, I'm only taking away 2 years of it, right? But last year, an aging Lakers squad that has death problems goes into Las Vegas and wins it. And this year, a Milwaukee team who, yes, this was an impressive win, but I would still be concerned about their legitimate title chances, comes in and their older players put up a great performance. And I'm speaking mainly of Giannis, Brooke Lopez, and Damian Lillard, who all had excellent games. So something fun to keep moving forward. I like what they have here. I think they should tinker with it just a little bit, maybe make the bracket a little longer, and I would play it a little later. I mean, so many people at my work are talking about college football and their fantasy football playoffs. Seems like bad timing for a really good event. What did you think?
I didn't do well on the semifinals. I knocked it out the park on the finals. The semifinals. Nice. Yeah, the semifinals was cool, man. The Hawks were in that game the whole way, and they ended up doing all that fouling mess like it's college basketball at the end and lost the cover. The Rockets can't score, and that goes back to Ime Udoka. I'm very ticked with Ime Udoka, because You remember I spoke about this last year on the show, that he had his face in the hallway instead of the players when you come to the locker room, and it was obvious that he wanted to be the face of the rebuild. But now I'm starting to see, man, maybe the Rockets are going to have to find their Joe Mazzulla, because that offense is horrendous. You can teach guys to play hard, as we saw the coach who left Cleveland and got them to a certain point, and then they passed it to Kenny Atkinson, and now you see they're really popping. Mark Jackson, who kind of did the same thing with Golden State, taught him how to win, taught him how to play tough. Then it passed on to Steve Kerr so he could add that offensive element that's needed. Because at the end of the day, what's basketball about? You have to score points. You have to play D, yeah, but you got to put the ball in the basket. And the Rockets should have been blowing out OKC in the first half of that game. They locked them down, but they couldn't score. And that all boils down to Ime Udoka stopping the plan that the owner Fertitta had with James Harden. They're still close. He was supposed to come back. I spoke about this before anyone knew about it, because, as you know, I'm privy to a lot of information in Houston, and I knew that James Harden had already worked out with Tim Fertitta that he was going to go get a ring, allow Fertitta to recover from all the losses that he took during COVID with his restaurants. Every low, a low scale of paying people out, a low contract scale, low budget, and then it ended up where he would get the draft picks, rebuild a team, and bring back Harden to get back on the mission again to get a championship to Houston. Now they have the perfect team set up with the defense that they play. The only thing they're missing is Harden. If you replace Van Fleet with Harden, the Rockets are number one in the West, because Harden makes offense so easy. And with the type of team they have with Sagoon, he could have taught Sagoon how to run an inverted pick and roll. He could have been hitting Amen Thompson on cuts and also teaching him how to run the pick and roll when he decides to step outside and become a point guard, which we know he's versatile. He could play 1-4. He could have been getting easy shots on pick and pops for Jabari Smith. He could have been getting easy baskets all day for guys like Tari Eason on cuts and lobs. Because we know one thing's for sure. People say all they want about Harden. We know that he's an offensive basketball savant. He understands how to get baskets. He understands how to make his team efficient as well offensively. So I feel like Ime Udoka really dropped the ball on that. And I think as the years go, we're going to see that he really dropped the ball. He handpicked Van Fleet. And Van Fleet is a guy that's 5'9", not athletic, and now he can't shoot. So what's his purpose? If you're that small with no athleticism, you got to be able to shoot 45% from the three-point line, 40% at least. You know, so I just feel like he made a mistake because of his ego. But to the finals, I tweeted out, I gave out the books. I'm really good in these standalone games and championship games, because when it's one game, I try to always see what the traders are trying to do. And when I saw that six, it made no sense to me with the Bucks having all of the championship experience. You have Giannis, who's played in finals, playing a lot of big games. He's a veteran. We have Doc Rivers, who's been to multiple finals as a coach, and also has won a title. And we have Dame Lillard, who's one of the most clutch players the NBA has seen and is longing to solidify his name in some type of way with the championship trophy, because he hadn't won anything, but he was hungry for one. That's why it was easy for me. Okay, see, they're kids, man. They're missing Chet, who I feel like is that 1B best player along with SGA. And people forgot because how successful they've been that they were missing Chet. And you saw Chet's effect of not being there with how Giannis dominated that game. It was an easy pick to me. I couldn't believe more people weren't on the books. My son texted me and he was like, who to take, Dad? And I said, the books plus six and money line plus 180 right before I tweeted it. He said, oh, man, your boys went the other way. I didn't have time to watch their shows earlier. So I didn't know, and I was like, well, I'm taking the books, you know. So I feel like a lot of guys overlook the fact that the NBA Cup is still a championship. Even though it's new, in Giannis's mind and Dame's mind, they won something. In Doc's mind, they won something. They don't even care about the money. They care more about the accolades of the trophy. And I think that was a pretty easy bid. I feel like they were going to dominate the Thunder. Thunder's still just kids, man. They always got next year until they don't. So I'm glad that anyone who follows me on X at Five Star in Vegas were able to cash the books plus six with me and plus 180.
All right. And so for the Rockets, I think that be a little patient. I think they're building teams the right way.
Who's going to be the point guard, though, Spread? We still don't have our point guard. I heard we're trying to get Fox or Booker. I'd love to get Fox.
I think you guys should get Fox, too. Yeah, I was thinking about our team. We got all these players that would fit in well with defensive-minded teams.
Yeah.
You can have one or two guys that are a little deficient on the defensive end. And out of all our good offensive players, Fox is the best defender. I mean, Sabonis, Monk.
And he's a good closer. He's a really good closer.
Yeah. I don't know. I was hoping we bought him out and they traded him for draft picks and we do the rebuild like you are. So I know it's frustrating to not get it done here, but I still think that Houston's rebuilding right and we'll see everybody on the same timeline. Might be next year before we really see the results, but we saw the same thing kind of with Oklahoma City where they made the leap, I would say, last year. And you can see, hey, this team's really good. They got a lot of potential. They're not championship yet. And now I think they are because you made a good point. You know, Holmgren was out there. I think that game could have looked a lot different. Yeah, he's really built for a player like Giannis. I know Giannis's strength would be an issue, but it could at least slow him down a little bit, give him something to think about. So overall, I do like the NBA Cup. Let's have it in February. Have it during the All-Star break. Nobody cares about the All-Star game anymore. Anyways, I don't even know what they're doing this year. 3-on-3. I mean, something.
Nobody don't know what the hell's going on. Yeah. Shout out Kevin Durant for speaking up about it, saying what we've said on this show from day one when they started messing with it.
Just the problem was in the format. The problem is they don't play hard. That's the problem.
You can put any name and title that you want on it. They don't play hard.
Nobody going to care.
People got mad at me on X when I said this years ago that the only reason people don't play hard anymore in the All-Star game is because who's the face of the league? LeBron James. LeBron does not take All-Star serious. He's the first star that we had as the face of the league who did not commit to the dunk contest, did not commit to the three-point contest, and all of the activities to make All-Star what it is, and that's being competitive and showing you're the best. He told guys that it doesn't matter about this man. It only matters. The only thing they're going to judge you about is winning. So he didn't want to take part of the festivities and take All-Star seriously. And whatever the stars doing in the league is going to trickle down on the guys, man. When Kobe was the guy, everyone played their ass off at the All-Star game. When Jordan was the guy, everybody played their ass off at the All-Star game. When